My topic for today is probably one you've never heard before. You might not see it either. The roar of the Lord. I have a very special thing that I want to share with you today that I've only shared with Rebecca and Shannon and Jamie. The bottom line today, when you leave here, I want you to experience the roar of the Lord in your life in some measure. I don't know how God's going to do this, but I'm hearing this. I'm not the only guy talking about how that. We just sang about raise a hallelujah above all the other noise.
Yeah.
That's right. Above all the unbelief. And that's exactly what was came into my heart, into my life. And I had an interesting thing happen to me on the Sunday before Christmas. And I want to share that with you. But I'm just hearing that. I see it on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it on social media. That, yeah, there's all kinds of voices speaking out there. But you're going to hear a very distinguishable voice. And you're going to know that's God.
Yeah.
Amen. But before that, like, you've probably heard a lot of messages on this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We've heard messages on that.
Yes.
But have we ever heard a message on the roar of the Lord? Well, you will shortly. First of all, though, I want to share a couple of things just in regard to what's out there, because now I see this on the news, I see this on game shows, I see it on social media. People are coming out saying, you know, this is my occupation, I'm a frontline worker, or I'm an essential worker. I've never shared this with you before, I just want to reestablish this with you and you people that are watching at home, that there is no such thing as a non-essential worker in the body of Christ. As a believer, I don't care what your occupation is. I don't care if you got fired. Because of who you are in Christ is what's really important. You're part of the body. So I just want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's not up there. Verse 24 to 27. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. I love that. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Amen. There's no insignificant people. Everybody's, in fact, Paul says that the parts that you can't see, in other words, the frontline workers that you don't see, they're the ones that really are important. And we know we've got to have all of our organs functioning for us to be able to be here and to be functional. I share that with you. Man, don't get discouraged. Don't think yourself any less than anybody else. We're here for each other. We have one head, and his name is Jesus. And that's it. All right. The other thing is, every now and then, and Don shared this as he did devotion at the board meeting on Tuesday night. He was reading something, and then he stopped and realized, that's not what I believe. You ever done that? I mean, you know, sometimes when Jamie and I are listening to our old gospel records, it's like, all of a sudden, that's not what I believe. You know, it's like, but I've been singing that chorus for 40 years. And it's like, that's not the confession I want to have over me. And so, you know, we need to do that sometimes. We catch ourselves reading or singing, especially singing, because when you put emotion with words, you're really right on your heart. That becomes part of it. Like, we can just say things, not me, but when you start putting emotion with what we're saying or singing, then you start, that becomes part of your belief system. And if it's not in the Word of God, you want that. Now, there's stuff that needs to be said to people who are not born again, but once you become born again, that's it. I'll give you a couple examples. I am not broken, but I am whole and complete in Christ.
Amen.
Colossians chapter 2, 9 and 10 says, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. The King James says, you are complete in him.
Yeah.
I am complete. Now, I'm learning to appreciate that completeness more and more, because it's like Paul says, we just see in part now, we're growing in that. But still, the fact is, I am not broke. I am whole in Christ, even though I'm not expressing it maybe in every area of my life yet, living it out. But that's the reality that I need to confess over me, and you need to confess over you. You are complete in Christ. I am not thirsty or hungry. I'm satisfied. John 6:35, Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Now, am I living all that 100%? No. But I'm growing in that, hopefully, that the reality is that all the satisfaction I need for hunger and thirst is in Christ. Simple as that. So I just share that with you because, it's important. Like, you think a guy, man, I've been on this earth so many years. You'd think by now that you'd have it figured out. But every now and then, you just got to check your language, check your confession, what you're speaking over yourself. Anyways, let's get to the message here before it's lunchtime. Okay, the roar of the Lord. Let me just share with you a couple of scriptures in regards to this. I don't have it exhaustive because it just wouldn't take too long. Because where these phrases are mentioned in scripture is there's a whole scenario around it, of what's happening with Israel or what's happening with God's people. But in the whole, in Hosea chapter 11, verse 10, and this is the title of this whole chapter is God's love for Israel. And so it says, they will follow the Lord, he will roar like a lion, and when he roars, his children will come.
Yeah.
Amen. I love that. Yeah. That's good stuff. When he roars, his children will come. And that's my whole thought this morning. It's kind of like that the roar of the Lord above all the other noise and chatter. That he, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice.
Right.
And they will come. So this is just a kind of a different way of putting this down. Like, I have never spoken on the roar of the Lord, but I can remember in the whatever gazillion years I've been pastoring. And but I just think this is just so awesome because I feel it as a reality, not only in my own life, but like I say, as I've been watching other ministers, there's like, seems like the Holy Spirit is capable of telling us all the same thing in our own way. my desire as we move through so much uncertainty and confusion in the world is to hear God more clearly. You can hear his word any way you want, but it's like right now we need to hear the roar of the Lord above all the other noises. Joel chapter 3, verse 16. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the sky will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel.
Amen.
God is our refuge and our stronghold. The Lord will roar. Amen. And how we need to hear the Lord roaring this day and age. Amen. All right. Amos chapter 1, verse 2. The Lord roars from Zion and thunders from Jerusalem. Amen. The Lord roaring. And obviously, I haven't preached on this too much because I have a hard time saying it. But the roar of the Lord is out there. And then also remember that it's not only with our Father, but there's the Lion of Judah.
That's right.
Amen. Remember that old chorus we used to sing? The Lion of Judah will break every chain. Well, maybe you can sing, but I remember saying, and give to us the victory again and again. The Lion of Judah will break every chain. And give to us the victory again and again. Amen. Now, in Jacob's blessing, okay, you're going to get this, especially on his, he was blessing all of his sons. So he's blessing Judah. It says, Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. I guess I should get the next page.
Go ahead and read.
It's not all there.
It's probably underneath.
It's probably is underneath. I think you're right. Sometimes you get it right, sometimes you don't. But I'll just read it to you. Jacob's blessing over Judah. Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs shall come, speaking of Jesus, and the obedience of the nations shall be this. The reference to coming of Jesus. And if you want to just read that all, if you go to chapter 1 in Matthew, you'll see the genealogy of Jesus. There's 14 generations from David to Babylon, and then 14 generations from Babylon to Christ. And then, like, I don't know what happened to the rest of these scriptures. What are they doing? Let me just move ahead here. Hey.
There it is. That's a big day.
Okay, where's the rest of it? All right, here we go. I have no idea why that's like that. But anyways, it's there, all right? So Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, you know there's the scroll with the seven seals and they're weeping. Like, who can open the scroll? Well, then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and the seven seals." And so, it's Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm going to end with this last, I'll just share it here with you now. Because it talks about us. We read about the Lord roaring. We read about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus. And then scripture also says, Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Yeah.
But you know, for us to be as bold as a lion, we need to be receiving from the lion himself, from God. So I'm going to relate to you the best I can. You guys might have to finish this off for me. But I'll tell you, on Sunday afternoon, I believe it was the 20th of December, I was not in 3 days of fasting and prayer. Nothing. I was sitting watching NFL on TV, and Jamie was down on the phone talking to her son, Jerry, and this all took about a minute, but I'm going to spread it out for you so you get the whole scenario here. Acts chapter 25, Paul is making his case before Felix and his wife, and then Agrippa and Bernice come to visit. And so Felix is telling him, you know, there's this guy prisoner, he wants to go to Rome, but I can't see any reason why he should be going before Caesar. And Bernice and Agrippa, they want to hear what Paul's story is. So it says, the next day Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking officers and the leading men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, "King Agrippa, all who are present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has petitioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found he had done nothing deserving of death, but because he made his appeal to the emperor, I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write His Majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think it is unreasonable to send on a prisoner without specifying the charges against him." And so then Agrippa gave permission to Paul to speak. And so Paul speaks to him, and then in the end, Agrippa challenges, "You think that you can convert me so easily to this?" And so, I'll share with you what happened to me with that story in the background. Am I still going to be on camera if I get... I'm going to sit down. So here's the deal. We have bought stuff from the shopping channel, especially coins and bills over the years. And Jamie and I come to this decision, okay, let's not buy anymore. We don't need to be collecting anything anymore. But then, you know that little guy? He's been on the shopping channel for 28 years, and he sells quality.
Stephen.
What's his name?
Stephen Bromberg.
Stephen Bromberg, yeah, that's it. So we were watching one day, and he comes out with this here thing called Coins with a Biblical Story from, I'll just say, 103 BC to 1564 AD. I'll still use that terminology. And so it's like, wow, there's a widow's mite. There's this King Azzi's silver drachm with three wise men, ancient Judah, Judea, King Herod, King Agrippa, and then there's the Byzantine cross, the Madonna child, and there's eight different things in here, eight different ancient coins. And it's like, oh, I'm a pastor. I love this stuff, and as a minister. So we decided, okay, this is the last thing we're going to buy. So it came on a Saturday. It kind of freaked me out. The doorbell rang, and I go to answer the door, and there's nobody there. It's just like, so I look, oh, there's a package. Okay, they're delivering. It's getting close to Christmas. So they're delivering stuff. So this Sunday afternoon, Jamie's talking to her son, and I'm thinking, well, I should take a closer look at these things. You can look at these later if you want. By all means. I find it just kind of relates to you back to where, to a day and age when I wasn't living back then. So. And I don't think you were either. Now, these guys know how to put this stuff together. Now, he does a quality job, I'll tell you that if you ever. Okay, so I pulled this out. Inside. So there's the coins are like that. They're very well done. So I'm thinking, I was thinking because I had read that story about King Agrippa, and I was thinking, well, this is cool. And so I pulled this here coin up with King Agrippa, and I thought, oh man, I need to take this apart and look at it. Like, they've never been, they don't clean them or anything, because that's the wrong thing to do with coins. You never want to clean your coins. So this is just like it was back in Paul's day. In fact, it could have been. Maybe Paul had this book, I don't know. But I'll tell you this, I'm sitting on the love seat in our TV room. TV room's just right, we come in the house there. And the second I touched this coin, I got thrown back on the couch. And I started yelling in tongues. And the first thing that came to me was, oh no, Jamie's gonna come upstairs and tell me, now calm down, Ralph, I'm trying to talk to Jared on the phone. But Jamie never heard me, never heard a word. And so then I got translated, and you know, I've been your pastor for a gazillion years, so you can believe this or not believe this. I get nervous and I start shaking when I think about it. But I just want something for you this year too, the roar of the Lord. This is the roar of the Lord that came to me. And so, all of a sudden, I'm standing in this room and I see a king and a queen, and here's Paul over on this side of me. We were social distance, by the way. And it's like, I'm holding onto this thing, and the thought that came to me, well, first of all, Bernice was looking at me. You remember the witch and the lion and the witch and the wardrobe? She had those piercing eyes like that. She's looking at me. I was like, what? And then all of a sudden I realized, you know, I have jeans and a t-shirt on. These guys are dressed in their robes. So I'm the guy that's different. No wonder she's looking at me so weird, because they've never seen jeans and a t-shirt in their life before. And so then I'm saying, King Agrippa. I had my hands like this, one to Paul, one to King. I said, King Agrippa, this who Paul is talking about is the Messiah that the Jews have been waiting for. Jesus is the Messiah. You can believe him now. And then I said, Lord, like that happened 2,000 years ago. And he said, time means nothing to me. So I said, "Lord, but why me?" And he just said, "Why not?" And then I just woke up and I'm holding on to this thing. And so then I went downstairs because she's still talking to Jared on the phone. And I was in shock. I showed her that. And that's my story. It's as real as real can be.
Yeah, that's good.
See, I'm shaking now because it just... Anyways.
That's good.
Yeah. So, the roar of the Lord. So, the Lord will roar. The Lion of Judah will roar. We'll raise a hallelujah above all the other noise. We'll raise a hallelujah above unbelief. And we'll expect good things to happen. You know, I guess that's one of the things that, we've all in prayer and fasting and times like that, we've all experienced God in a very special way. But in all seriousness, when I woke up out of this thing, like a minute later, NFL was still on there, TV, Jamie was still talking to Jared, and it's like, oh, this is, so when I came to work the next day, well, I told Jamie, so I came to work the next day, and I said to Rebecca and to Shannon, when you get 10 minutes, I got to share you one of the most bizarre things that's ever happened in my life. So I brought this and I told these guys, because I just knew I had to tell somebody.
Yeah.
But as I was thinking this, and as I'm putting this message together, I thought, why don't you just share the roar of the Lord in your life?
Good.
And I say, expect God, like, there was no fear. It was love, it was light. Like I said, I was shaking, but then what do you do? What else do you do when you're in the presence of God?
Yeah.
It's kind of thing. But you know, we have the roar of the Lord, we have the Lion of Judah, but we also have the righteous are as bold as a lion. God uses people, or not bad terminology, but God speaks through people. God wants to speak through you. The Lion of Judah will break every chain, but he's going to work, I believe, through all of us in an unexpected way this year.
Yeah.
Like, because we can't function the way we've been functioning before. But God is creative, and he gives us his creative mind. And I just pray that for you this year. As God roars into your life boldly, that boldness will become part of you, and you'll be sharing that in the world around you. Amen. It's hard to know how to put the caboose on this thing, but I'll ask you to stand and let's close in prayer. Like I say, if you'd like to look at these coins, by all means, you're welcome to look at them. Amen. Father, I just thank you today for your goodness, your love, your care, your mercy. And I thank you for your reality, that you speak into each one of our lives in many different ways. And we just open our hearts to receive that reality. Your love, your life, your wisdom, your peace, your joy, all the things that Jesus came to give us, we receive that. Help us to grow in all of that, Lord, we pray. And I just pray, Lord, whatever way, we all receive truth differently, and we experience you differently, Lord. I just pray that this year will be a year of the sweet roar of the Lord in all of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, folks.
Yeah.